Blog Talk Radio.
That means that I'm informed of the one.
Things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing stand in your way. I want you to live from this on.
To every word I say, every word I say,
ain't no stopping us now.
And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing stand in your way. I want y'all to listen, listen.
Every word I say, every word I say. No, no, no. We're moving, grooving. leaves your people way behind.
Oh, it ain't no.
Overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the brilliancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the
in a little tent.
ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother, and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. And oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
Tonight, this is Scott and Martin from the movement tonight, Monday night. And I got some things I want to say tonight. First, the Vietnam War lasted a long time. So this war for 20 years, and they had $2 trillion, now $2 trillion for this war. It just ended. And what the war was about. And people asked him what the war was about. It was about money. It was about learning people, going into people's town, making them become Americanized. All these people, they coming back. They don't want to stay over there. They want to come back this way. The war has ended. Shouldn't have never been a war. They supposed to went over and cleaned up and got out, but they decided to stay for 20 years. In 20 years' time, $2 trillion was spent. Where did the money go? Somebody left there rich. Some companies in America made trillions of dollars, millions of dollars in that war effort. I want to say this. We're praying for the people down in New Orleans, Mississippi, Tennessee, those in Alabama, some parts of Atlanta. We're praying. And I want to tell you tonight, God said high and he looked low. And I want to tell you, we're praying for Sister Linda family. Sister Pearl Williams lost her sister. Mary Hawkins lost her sister. I'm going to say to them, no sorrow on earth. I'm going to let you know God is a healer. And I don't care. There's no fire on earth that heaven cannot heal. And we did that usually Sunday. I want to thank Pearl for getting all the information about Linda. Sister Walker. She was a good lady. I talked to her many times. She had her issues, but sometimes we have to outgrow our issues. And I'm praying for you tonight, those that lost loved ones in the war, those people that was killed trying to get people out, those young folks, they're praying that it'd be all right. But tonight, I want to talk a little bit about the big lie. Yeah, we've been lied to. Here it is again, the racism in Chicago, where a lady walking the dog, and the police going, all white folks walking the dog, she ain't Mexican white folks. I've seen that black woman, this has been on all TV. Racism is still real in America. Racism killed black folks down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Racism killed black folks down in Natchez, Mississippi, Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the Delta, in Arkansas, Little Rock. Racism. And they want to bring other people in, and they haven't dealt with the human rights of blacks here in America now. And Dr. King would say, the wall should have been over. It shouldn't have been no wall. You can't make people be what they don't want to be. And my thing is now, the kids getting ready to go back to school. The bus drivers in Chicago wouldn't drive buses. They wouldn't drive these buses. Because these kids got to have a shot or something for these kids going back to school. And the bus drivers quit. Because they're trying to save their life. They know that lots of the stuff they're telling us ain't true. We just going along. When it first came out, is everybody wear a mask? I'm going to bring you back. So we wore masks. Then he gave two shots. You ain't got to wear no mask now. Now they want to give a booster shot. If they can give a booster shot every year, every 6 months, all I'm saying to you, people, know yourself, be yourself, and free yourself. Now, all these people coming over here, they got to have somewhere to sleep, somewhere to eat. They got to have a medical card. With some of you can't get a medical card. They're going to get food stamps. Some of you can't get no food stamps. And they're going to get some money. They just gave Americans, I think, $2 million, $3 million. They gave Americans $1,500 or something like that, and then another $300. But they're going to get them people thousands of dollars. They're bringing over him, taking money out of the taxpayer, people that pay their tax. Look at what I'm saying. Ain't nobody said how much it's going to cost to sleep them people, how much it's going to cost to feed them people, how much it's going to cost to house them people, how much it's going to cost. Ain't nobody said that. This is just get them out of there. Now, what should have been, all Americans should have got out and later on talk about them people's at home. They've been over there for 20 years. And for 20 years, them people that left the American way. So they want to come to America. Dr. King said this, and it's so true, I'm going to play it in a minute, that we need a job. Congress lied to us, Paul Acres and me, we didn't get it. We're still dealing with racism in America in this 2021, going in 2022. The storms and the floods is bad. Let me help y'all out. There's another on its way now. One hit Mexico. One hit Florida. One hit Louisiana. It's another, let me say it. Well, you write it down. Bishop said it. There's another hurricane on its way. I said seven hurricanes. That ain't seven yet. On its way now as I speak. They'll tell you about it. Spirit already showed me. I shall answer. This is Dr. Martin Luther King movement. And it seemed like people be lying, playing out of Hitler playbook, in Hitler's playbook was murder, racial profiling, germ warfare. Hitler did all that. So the Jews, 6 million Jews were killed. They didn't say how many blacks were killed, but he called blacks apes. So look at them apes run. I think Jesse Owens was running. Hitler said, look at them apes. They got apes out here on us. It's going to show you this racial thing is really deep, and it's a big lie. Don't believe it? Look up your history book. Hitler called black folks apes. So they got apes out here running track. Okay? So what I'm telling you, God is able to deliver you. I'm praying for those that lost life down in New Orleans, those that right now it's a blackout down there. We're still praying for them that in the blackout, God is able. And some people saying, Bishop, what's happening? California is burning up. And down in Louisiana, in the South, things on fire. What's going on? God is going on. That's what's going on. Okay? God is going on. Until we get it right, a lot of stuff is going to happen. So I'm telling you tonight, the wages of sin is death, to get to God eternal life. Get ready. Let God do something special for you, where God can open up a door for you, where your door can open up. So I just know that as we come today at this hour to talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the power of God working for you. Like Dr. King said, that we got to deal with everybody need a job, everybody need work. And Dr. King said this back in the day. This is Dr. King. I'm going to keep Dr. King before your faith. I'm going to keep Dr. King in your country. Dr. King was talking about these wars in Vietnam, the war in Korea, and the war in Afghanistan. Them innocent young people died for something they don't even know what they died for. You know, what I'm saying, the people was glad America got out. They've been there 20 years, $2 trillion. And them people were glad the American leave. And lots of people been Americanized there. What I'm saying, they've been Americanized. They learned how to do American ways. So they didn't want to go back to the Muslim way. They want to go back to the American way. Doctors, lawyers, and all of them coming over here. They was trained over there. And some soldiers married them people over there. They got children for 20 years. They've been over there 20 years. So this is what Dr. King, and it's so true right now.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shut down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny had the great lunch conference.
Well,
it didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I going to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses?
Of your color and don't listen to the big lie that was told to us.
Big lie. It's just a lie.
We are of your father the devil and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. And he speaketh a lie speaking of his own.
All lies come from the devil. All lies come from the devil. Get Romans 1 and 26, because the big lie is people don't know what the big lie is. And I'm talking about tonight, the big lie. The lie been told that we were human, we were human. The lie told that black folk was in superior. Was told that we were demons. The white man told a lie, and the lie been going on and on. And the big lie got us tired of. Now Trump told the big lie. You know he didn't win. So people got to understand this homosexual thing is a big lie.
See, they keep telling lies, and we keep falling into the lies. And Dr. King talked about the other Americans. The white side and the black side. And it's still going on today.
There are members of the faculty and members of the student body of this great institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there are several things that one could talk about before such a large, concerned, and enlightened audience. There are so many problems facing our nation and our world that one could just take off anywhere. But today I would like to talk mainly about the race problem, since I'll have to rush right out and go to New York to talk about Vietnam tomorrow, and I've been talking about it a great deal this week and weeks before that. I'd like to use as a subject from which to speak this afternoon the other America. And I use this subject because there are literally two Americas. One America is beautiful for situations. And in a sense, this America is overflowing with the milk of prosperity and the honey of opportunity. This America is the habitat of millions of people who have food and material necessities for their bodies, and culture and education for their minds, freedom and human dignity for their spirits. In this America, millions of people experience every day the opportunity of having life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in all of their dimensions. And in this America, millions of young people grow up in the sunlight of opportunity. Tragically and unfortunately, there is another America. This other America has a daily ugliness about it that constantly transforms the buoyancy of hope into the fatigue of despair. In this America, millions of work-starved men walk the streets daily in search for jobs that do not exist. In this America, millions of people find themselves living in rat-infested, vermin-filled slums. In this America, people are poor by the millions. And they find themselves perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. In a sense, the greatest tragedy of this other America is what it does to little children. Little children in this other America are forced to grow up with clouds of inferiority forming every day in their little mental sky. And as we look at this other America, we see it as an arena of blasted hopes and shattered dreams. Many people of various backgrounds live in this other America. Some are Mexican-Americans, some are Puerto Ricans, some are Indians, some happen to be from other groups. Millions of them are Appalachian whites. Probably the largest group in this other America in proportion to its size in the population is the American Negro. The American Negro finds himself living in a triple ghetto, a ghetto of race, a ghetto of poverty, a ghetto is to deal with this problem, to deal with this problem of the two Americas. We are seeking to make America one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now let me say that the struggle for civil rights and the struggle to make these two Americas one America is much more difficult today than it was 5 or 10 years ago. For about a decade or maybe 12 years. We struggled all across the South in glorious struggles to get rid of legal, overt segregation and all of the humiliation that surrounded that system of segregation. In a sense, this was a struggle for decency. We could not go to a lunch counter in so many instances and get a hamburger or a cup of coffee. We could not make use of public accommodation. Public transportation was segregated. Often we had to sit in the back and then transportation within cities. We often had to stand over empty seats because sections were reserved for whites only. We did not have the right to vote in so many areas of the South. The struggle was to deal with these problems. Certainly they were difficult problems. They were humiliating conditions. By the thousands, we protested these conditions. We made it clear that it was ultimately more honorable to accept jail cell experiences than to accept segregation and humiliation. By the thousands, students and adults decided to sit in at segregated lunch counters to protest conditions there. When they were sitting at those lunch counters, they were in reality standing up for the best in the American dream, seeking to take the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy, which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the formulation of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Many things were gained as a result of these years of struggle. 1964, Civil Rights Bill came into being. After the Birmingham movement which did a great deal to subpoena the conscience of a large segment of the nation to appear before the judgment seat of morality on the whole question of civil rights. After the Selma movement in 1965, we were able to get a voting rights bill. All of these things represented strides. But we must see that the struggle today is much more difficult. It's more difficult today because we are struggling now for genuine equality. It's much easier to integrate a lunch counter than it is to guarantee a livable income and a good solid job. It's much easier to guarantee the right to vote than it is to guarantee the right to live in sanitary, decent housing conditions. It is much easier to integrate a public park than it is to make genuine quality integrated education a reality. So today we are struggling for something which says we demand genuine equality, not merely a struggle against extremist behavior toward Negroes. And I'm convinced that many of the very people who supported us in the struggle in the South are not willing to go all the way now. I came to see this in a very difficult and painful way in Chicago over the last year where I've lived and worked. Some of the people who came quickly to march with us in Selma and Birmingham were active around Chicago. And I came to see that so many people who supported morally and even financially what we were doing in Birmingham and Selma were really outraged against the extremist behavior of Bull Connor and Jim Clark toward Negroes rather than believing in genuine equality for Negroes. And I think this is what we've got to see now, and this is what makes the struggle much more difficult. So as a result of all of this, we see many problems existing today that are growing more difficult. It's something that is often overlooked, but Negroes generally live in worse slums today than 20 or 25 years ago. In the North, schools are more segregated today than they were in 1954 when the Supreme Court's decision on desegregation was rendered. Economically, the Negro is worse off today than he was 15 and 20 years ago. So the unemployment rate among whites at one time was about the same as the unemployment rate among Negroes. But today the unemployment rate among Negroes is twice that of whites. And the average income of the Negro is today 50% less than whites. We look at these problems, we see them growing and developing. Every day, we see the fact that the Negro economically is facing a depression in his everyday life that is more staggering than the depression of the 30s. The unemployment rate, the nation as a whole, is about 4%. Statistics would say from the Labor Department that among Negroes it's about 8.4%. But these are the persons who are in the labor market who still go to employment agencies to seek jobs, and so they can be calculated. The statistics can be gotten because they are still somehow in the labor market. But there are hundreds of thousands of Negroes who have given up. They've lost hope. They come to feel that life is a long and desolate corridor for them with no exit sign. So they no longer go to look for a job. There are those who would estimate that these persons who are called the discouraged persons, these 6 to 7% in the Negro community, That means that unemployment among Negroes may well be 16%. Among Negro youth in some of our large urban areas, it goes to 30 and 40%. So you can see what I mean when I say that in the Negro community, that is a major, tragic, and staggering depression that we face in our everyday lives. Now, the other thing that we've got to come to see now that many of us didn't see too well during the last 10 years, that is that racism is still alive in American society and much more widespread than we realize. We must see racism for what it is. It is a myth of the superior and the inferior race. It is the false and tragic notion that one particular group, one particular race is responsible for all of the progress, all of the insights, and the total flow of history. And the theory that another group or another race is innately inferior. In the final analysis, racism is evil because its ultimate logic is genocide. Hitler was a sick and tragic man who carried racism to its logical conclusion. He ended up leading a nation to the point of killing about 6 million Jews. This is the tragedy of racism because its ultimate logic is genocide.
Genocide and racism.
What does it mean? See, that's man's life. And the lies is going to be storms, floods, and earthquakes. I told you that it'll be an earthquake in Hawaii. I told you that it'll be an earthquake in California. There's nothing coming to California. I prophesied that will be a flood down the Midwest. That means here in the Midwest, we're going to have 3 months, we're going to have some heat. And down south, around Texas, Freeport, Louisiana, we're going to have a loss of tornadoes, but around the coast, we're going to have a loss of hurricanes back to back. Now, you can put your money on that. Let's cut that to the bank, because that's what's going to be happening. The big lie happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Those people had Black Wall Street on Greenwood and Greenville. The only thing they didn't do, they didn't have no gun. If they had had guns, the whole story has been told them. Some thugs, white boys, went in and killed and murdered those people because of jealousy. That's what they did. They were jealous of those black people. The black people had homes. They had churches. They had insurance companies. They were on their way. The only thing black folks miss, you got to arm yourself. Not because you want to get nobody. White folks in America is armed. We killing each other, they waiting to kill us. That's what's going on. The killings in Chicago, Detroit, black on black, because they don't understand. They ain't got no heart. They hurting each other. They don't know that. Got the pants down low, calling women bitches and hoes. They don't respect their mama. They don't respect the women that brought them to the world. So they are demons' children. And my thing, the big lie is, the government said, I'm going to give you 40 acres and a mule. They did not do that. They gave the money to the Europeans that came in. They gave them land. They gave them college. They gave them money. They didn't give the black man money because we was already in. So the big lie is happening in 2021 and 2022. We're still under the lie, under the devil. Because the devil syndrome, the devil over is a lie. That's what's happening with that. That's a big lie. Go ahead on. Say that again.
Because of the big lie, the world is now full of unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, whispering.
Now, I want you to read that again, because that's what's happening now. I want these people to wake up, because this was happening. The warlocks and the witches had
government, you know, and the hacking that happened, I prophesied a year ago, we're going to have cyber hack. The next thing, they're going to cut off the light. That the bridges can't go up. Because our government is not dealing with Russia like they told us. They're going to shut Russia down. You don't need to meet with Russia. You need to get Russia. The next happens, we're going to send the troops over to Russia. We're going to send the army and the navy. That's what the army and navy pay for. That's the money we got. They're hacking, and that, that's all right. It ain't all right. This is evil, and this is psycho warfare. We have cyber warfare right now. Right now, they got a satellite up in there. Can shut down every car in America. They got a satellite up there to shut the brain box out of America. We're dealing with witchcraft on a high level. We're dealing with warlock on a high level. So the big lie is, oh, it ain't happening, Bishop, but it is happening. It's happening to you, your children dying, your husband dying, and the sickness, the virus, is crossing up these animals. That's where all this virus coming from. Read on.
And likewise, also, the Lord
has
revealed to me today that the natural use of the woman burning their lust one
toward another. Oh, stop right there. Now, here's a man, healthy. His DNA, say his, I mean. Now, his DNA says he come out of male. A male supposed to meet up with a woman, but he's loving a woman. He in love with a man. And it's all right. It's not all right. It's the money and it's witchcraft at the highest level. And it's a big lie. The doctors got together and say it's all right. If you homosexual, say you a man, you got problems. That was a curse somewhere in your DNA, in your family tree. And that's what happened. If you a woman, and you're in love with another woman, that's a curse or something you want to do. You're living the lie. Well, I was born this way. You telling me that Mother Nature done made a mistake? Ain't talking about if you tell me the sun don't rise, don't set. So the big lie, don't be a part of the big lie. And lots of it have tough, so well, I'm a part of it. I can't do nothing about it. You can resist the Congress and the Supreme Court, along with Obama, that made this law where two women can get married, two men can get married. I've never seen two dogs get married. I've never seen two animals get married. The animals, if the animals don't do it, what are we doing? Okay, read on.
Men
going with men working, which is unseemly. When it's unseemly, it means not of God. Or you can justify that. You can't justify it. This is not of divine will. It's a divine law. It's a man and woman. If you get me from that divine law, you messed up man, you messed up woman, I don't care what the law says. Ain't no discrimination there. You define the universe. You define Mother Nature. Mother Nature made you. You was a man. When Mother Nature made you, you was a woman. I don't care what your feeling is. Your feeling is something going on in your head. You got a mental problem, and that mental problem got to be dealt with, and the doctor don't want to deal with the mental problem that's going on in America. We got people that are sick. You know, they having little children. They having animals. And they are sick because they are demonic. Those are demonic spirits come directly from hell, from the pit of hell. Read on.
And receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was speak.
Now, what they're saying, oh, it's all right for me to do. Don't criticize me. Don't you judge me. I got to judge you because DNA judges you. DNA made you a woman. DNA made you a man. I got to judge what DNA said. I got to judge that the sun rise and it set. Rise from the east, set in the west. Don't change. So if God made you a man, something going on with your DNA. If God made you a woman, something going on. It's a curse somewhere on that line. And you've got to work that curse. But the medical doctor, that's normal. That's not normal. And we have bought the lie. We bought the lie that it's normal to have a heart attack. It's to die, at old age, that's not normal. People in the Old Testament lived to be 100, 200, 300. But because we have accepted the lie, and the lie has cut us down. The lie, the first lie, the church, that the Catholic Church, that Jesus was a white man on the cross coming from Africa, and if he's from Africa in the Middle East, he's black as fuck. So how can he be white with beachy ass? That's a lie. We've been taught the lie to enslave us. We've been taught the lie to deal to hold us back. So we're dealing with the big lie. Now you ask yourself, is you done bought into the big lie? Oh, that you're looking up for God. What you looking up for God, he and you? Huh? Well, you said, oh God, and when you said, Lord, forgive me, how you gonna forgive you? Well, you got to do the forgiving. The wages of sin is death, to get the God to come out. So the big lie rock on. But now the Bible teach us the Ten Commandments, Moses went and got them. How did Moses get the Ten Commandments there on the wall in Egypt? They were there before Moses and Jesus came to existence in Egypt on the wall. They're on the wall now. But the big lie the European told you, Moses went up to the mountain and God gave him. What's wrong with black people that don't research? They don't research Christianity. They don't research Islam. They don't research Judaism. They don't research Buddhism. Don't research nothing. They just accept the lie. Read on.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobation.
They said they don't want to hear that. Bishop, I want to hear you say it, because I'm gay. I know I'm gay. And I don't want to hear nothing else. Do you don't want to entertain when I say God, the African means Mother Nature. You don't want to accept what Mother Nature gave you. Mother Nature made you a man. What I'm going to look like getting a sex change. I still can't have no babies. Mother Nature made you a woman. What you look like grabbing down that you ain't got nothing to grab. Because you don't want to attain the divine law of God. I'm going to say it again. The divine law of God, man and woman. Now, you can put the homosexuals together, put the race together, you put the all that they put together, because the LBG community, that's a lie. That's what we're living under a lie. And the kids are accepting the lie. And that's witchcraft. That's the devil syndrome. Right now, 2021, we live in the lie. Here, 300 people was killed in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and buried. And the government and the state government sent the soldiers in to kill the people and said, don't send nothing back. Our ancestors, that's the lie. Now, 100 years later, the president said, well, they did that. What you going to do about it? We need reparation. We ain't got it. Every race got reparation but the black man, the Native American, the Japanese. Everybody got reparation, but the black folks in Tulsa ain't got nothing. They tore it down. They tore everything down and killed and shot. Now, I want to say this, and I believe what Malcolm said. If they, black 300 people that had guns, it would have been a different story today. We'd be telling a different story if they had been armed. But they peaceful people. They were trying to they trying to live the American way. And the American government turned it back. And the state of Tulsa, Oklahoma turned its back on black folks. And they still don't want to tell the truth. They still want to hold on to the big lie. But I want to say this. You not only in Nashville, Mississippi, they killed black folks. Alabama, in the Delta of Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee, Illinois, Indiana, all over America, the blood is on American hands because they killed black people and they're trying to hold it down. That's why so much destruction going on, tornadoes and floods, back to back. California, you name the place, it ain't nowhere in America their hands ain't got blood on them. And the reason America is saved is because of black folks.